Hello and welcome to the 135th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
And this is Harry.
Harry, we are here to talk North Texas football. Harry, you ever done something really stupid in Vegas or Mexico and really wish you could have a do-over?
I've done a lot of stupid things in my life, Evan.
Well, I'm thinking the coaches are wishing they had a big do-over for the first couple of games of the season. What are you thinking?
Well, hindsight's 20/20, and I think you're talking about Dejon Williams and how good he's looked at quarterback, and I think everyone is kind of scratching their head. But I think it's a little more complicated than just who's the most talented QB. I think there's the issue of, was Dejon doing his off-season workouts? Was Dejon getting all the practices? Was Dejon focusing on all the things that they want their players to focus on? So I think that's been kind of the issue is, you know, there is a team other than Dejon Williams. That being said, if Dejon played in that UT game and if Dejon played in that Louisiana Tech game, would the outcomes have been different? I think the answer is yes.
Well, you know, we talked about it last week when before the game against Nicholls State. We talked about that he's going to bring in a whole new ideas, a whole new scheme of things because of the way he plays. It's a total different dimension to the offense. But we knew that there was some baggage there. We knew that it was going to be tough to sell. You know, he didn't put in the hours. The other guys, he almost had to. But saying that, it's almost like he could win over the locker room because we marched the other guys out there. It didn't work. We're trying this out now. But he's now putting in the hours. So they really spun it. He's putting the hours. He's putting in the dedication now, but we couldn't start him. So they kind of save face with the locker room there.
Well, I think there's – yeah, you could make that argument, but you could also argue that we lost, you know, a lot of momentum coming in from last season with a bowl winning team and everything else to go out to UT and basically lay an egg was very frustrating for the fan base. And now we're looking back at University of Texas saying, man, you know, they're really not that good.
This was the year to capitalize.
There was ever a year to beat UT or at least play well, be in the fourth quarter. I know people are tired of me harping on that, but again, these lost opportunities and these momentum, you know, when you have momentum, you need to try to hold on to it for as long as you can. And I just think this program historically has struggled to try to consistently. Even last season, as great as last season was, you still look at that UTSA loss at home, you know, and what happened? Why did we allow that to happen on our home field where we play so well? But the past is the past. I think the exciting thing, if you're a North Texas fan, is Dejon Williams is – without a doubt, the most talented quarterback prospect we've had in as long as I can remember, Evan. And you've been following this a long time too, but you tell me a quarterback that has the raw skills and the natural ability of Dejon Williams that's ever worn a jersey for North Texas in the modern era.
Right. Well, you know, that's the thing. And you talk about modern era, you know, I remember 94 with Mayer, you know, you got a Scott Hall in there. We had some decent quarterbacks, but we've always had an issue. We've always had a good running game, but we've always had an issue. Always seemed to come up short. But let's talk about the game against Nicholls State, 77-3. I couldn't believe at the end of the, you know, almost 5 minutes into the first quarter, we were up 21 points or whatever. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to go back through one thing. And I know a lot of people have already seen these and they've lived through them. Everybody loves them to stats. But let's talk about the first drive.
Okay.
Okay. First and 10 to 41. Dejon passed to Carlos Hurst for 7 yards. Then passed to Marcus Smith for 14 yards. Then a pass to Darvin Kidsey for 25 yards. Then a pass for 5 yards to Darius Terrell. It's four different guys there making a catch. And then he runs it in.
Yeah.
I mean, you got five plays there, five plays run, five different people that basically make the play. And all of a sudden, we are looking like gold. Now, I mean, this is Nicholls State. I'm not going to say we're playing against the top caliber.
And therein
team.
Lies the problem, Evan. I mean, the problem is that Nicholls State, the week after they played us, played the powerhouse known as Central Arkansas University.
Well, we knew that was going to be a barn burner.
And Central Arkansas, or whatever they're called, basically just blew Nicholls out of the, you know, off the field. So Nicholls is really, really bad. And that's where we sit right now, is that we have not seen Dejon play against a higher caliber opponent, and they will this weekend. And that's why this game is so interesting if you're a North Texas fan, because like I said on the board, I'm not going to be disappointed in a loss. I mean, they're a Big Ten team. We're playing on the road, you know, everything else. But I do think this is a game where we can compete. I do think this is a game where it could be down to the fourth quarter. And I'm really excited to see how Dejon performs under these type of situations.
Well, regardless of the competition, the passes were there. The passes, for the most part, were pretty darn accurate. He ran the ball. There was tough to contain him. We had a running game, we had a passing game, and we got a quarterback that's very mobile. And those three things are something we haven't seen in a long time.
And John Sclodany and the defense all of a sudden looks a lot better than they did when North Texas rolls out against Louisiana Tech and has nine straight three and outs. Eight straight three and outs, and then the ninth was an interception return to our, you know, inside our 10-yard line.
Well,
so
even with the caliber who we're playing, the defense, and even just if you call the rankings, we're still ranked pretty high on defense, like 17th in the nation in total defense and 9th in the nation on rush defense, which is going to play a big part into this Indiana game because they have got the nation's leading rusher on their side.
Yeah, I mean, the defense has held their own. They're going to face, you know, this will probably be the best running back they face all year in Tevin Coleman. There were a couple good backs at Texas, obviously, but this Tevin Coleman is pretty special. And, you know, he's about 6'1". He's got big acceleration. You know, I look at it, I love our run defense. You know, we've played against some great running backs. That running back that Georgia had last year, I forget his name, but I mean, he's an NFL caliber running back. I think we can stop the run, but we've got to have some offense. We've got to move the ball. We've got to control the ball more. This defense is not going to just go out and shut out teams. They're not to that level yet. They may not ever be, especially teams like Indiana. So again, if the offense can do anything, it just seems to help our defense perform better. And I hope that happens this Saturday.
Well, you got to hand it to the defense. They have stepped up. It was a big question mark at defense. The defensive line who's the defensive line coach?
Kevin Patrick.
Okay, Kevin Patrick. Those guys are looking amazing.
Yeah, and they're young.
They're young. That's exciting stuff there because they are really making an impact, and we're really going to need to see what they can do this week. It's going to be important. Indiana has a tough time passing the ball. It's well documented. Even their reporters,
their coaches are saying that. Yeah. I mean, the key for this game to me is the line of scrimmage. When Indiana beat Missouri, an SEC team. Okay, that was a huge win for their program. Then they come back and lose to Maryland. Mm-hmm. What was the difference in those two games? The difference was the line of scrimmage. Against Missouri, they controlled the line of scrimmage. Against Maryland, they did not. So I think our offensive line, we kind of forget about them a little bit. They're the guys, you know, that leading into the season, they were supposed to be the biggest strength of the team. And frankly, they really haven't been. They've been somewhat disappointing. And I know injuries play into that. But I really feel like this game could come down to how well our offensive line, and defensive line as well, but how well our offensive line can get out and control the line of scrimmage against this Indiana. It's sort of a 3-4 defensive setup that they use. So typically, a 3-4, you should be able, if you've got a decent offensive line, you should be able to run the ball. So I think that's going to be interesting to see how well our offensive line performs in this game.
Yeah, it's hard to go by just off the statistics as far as against Nicholls State. But when you look at the yards, you know who led rushing yards for North Texas?
Who's that?
Dejon.
Yeah.
He had 68 yards. Carlos Harris had 67. Pegram had 62. A little surprise there. Eric Evans had 57. Andrew Tucker with 44. Jimerson with 30. And -4 for Willie Ivory. That was the net there. I was surprised. But you look at those numbers, and we had a total of 332 rushing yards. That's pretty good.
Well, but you look at the game. In North Texas, for, you know, under Mack, under Dickey before him, forever has been we're going to run the ball, we're going to keep running the ball until we have success, and then we'll do some play action off of that.
Okay, so when was the last time we had a quarterback that was this mobile?
Wow.
I mean, for this style of quarterback, I don't think we've really ever had one.
And
Andrew Smith was a better passer, but he wasn't as mobile.
Andrew Smith was not a great runner. Mitch Mayer could run, but that was not his forte.
That was necessity.
It was out of necessity. You know, it's Scott Davis is probably the best running quarterback that I ever can remember.
Scott Davis. That's way back.
That's back in my time.
Yeah, that's
even before my time, actually. When I was a student, I watched Scott Davis play in a game where we beat SMU, believe it or not, in Fouts Field to a capacity crowd. But the problem with Scott Davis was he couldn't throw. You know,
I'm going to have to give Tony's props in the room. Riley Dodge was mobile.
Riley Dodge was mobile.
Fragile, but mobile.
But he was fragile, and that's the problem with Dejon to a certain extent too. And I had to – this was one of my key points for tonight's podcast is Dejon has not taken a big hit.
No.
And he will take one Saturday.
He's not liable to slide. When you saw him, he went in head first on several runs, and he got the first down on one of them, but you just got to say, whoa.
And that's been a concern about him from the start with the coaching staff is that, you know, he's not the biggest guy in the world. He's tall. He's every bit of 6'3", 6'4", but he's not the biggest framed guy in the world. And you wonder how he's going to handle some of these big, you know, guys on defense when they give him a lick. So that's another – I think one of the things I'm most excited about in this game is to see Dejon take a big hit and get right back up. I mean, I think – durability is a big question mark. There's so many question marks. You know, again, Nichols, you almost wish we'd played a team a little bit higher caliber than Nichols because as great as it was, everything comes into question.
Do you feel like this is a first time in years where, you know, going into the fifth game, we're still not real sure what we have?
This is the first time in years that I've been truly excited about the offense. I feel like Dejon brings that running threat that we just have not ever had. And yeah, Riley Dodge brought it, you know, to a certain extent and had some good moments. But Riley Dodge did not have the arm that Dejon did at all.
And the passes that he threw the other day were just
– And they're passes that are – the receivers, you know, unlike – even Derek Thompson to a certain extent. You don't ever see Dejon leaving guys out to dry. I mean, maybe there's a couple, but for the most part, he's throwing the ball. He's got such velocity on his throws and great touch in terms of where he puts those throws. Now, that's one thing that you can look at the Nichols game and say, hey, those passes aren't going to be any different against Indiana. Yeah, they may be more talented. They may have more speed. But the velocity of his throws is something that is going to be consistent in this Indiana game. And that's, like I said, I don't remember ever seeing. I mean, Andrew Smith had a big arm, and I'll give King that. But he did not pose the running threat that Dejon does.
They just, Adman put on here, Visa ran for his life.
Visa was a great quarterback, and that's a sad chapter in North Texas' history
really
because he, you know, he was – basically transferred out because he got tired of getting beat up every week.
It was brutal on him.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things is, and talking about that first five plays, there was one pass that he threw in there that I thought for sure was going to be intercepted. Two guys, he threaded the needle. It was an excellent pass, but you got to wonder on with better competition, could that have been picked off? And so you're going to have to watch that.
Let me just answer that for you, Evan. It is going to happen. It'll probably happen Saturday. He'll either be running the ball and fumble it, or he's going to throw an interception because somebody jumped on, you know, saw that it was coming and jumped on it. But that's not what worries me. What worries me is how does he respond after that? You know, does he get down? Does he get dejected? We don't know how this guy – he seems like a real cool customer to me. He seems really
– Oh, my gosh. When he got back there, he just looked so relaxed. And nothing against Greer, but I was nervous for Greer back there. The feet were moving around, and he had plenty of time. The offensive line was doing their job. He just didn't look comfortable back there. And then Dejon comes back there, and he just seems that way. And that's nothing against Greer. It just worked out, and it was a tough little chain of events there in the first game. But either way, we're going to have to see what he does this week. Let's move away from Dejon a little bit because we're all excited about there. I'm not one that's going to say
I want to talk about Dejon more. Let's just have this whole podcast talk about Dejon.
Well, part two, one and two. The first one is part Dejon. All right. So, but he was spectacular. People are saying tap the brakes. It was Nichols State. Hey, you know what? It could have been against Denton Ryan. it might have been better game, but it could have been against Denton Ryan, and I still would have said he's great because we haven't seen anything like that.
We every defense we play against, the scouting report on North Texas is put 10 guys in the box and force them to pass, and 9 times out of 10, you're going to come out okay. Mm-hmm. You know, to Derek Thompson's credit, he was able to make those mid-range outs, and he was consistent enough to where he could allow the running game to have success. But nothing to the level of what a running threat like Dejon can do. And that was that's the most exciting thing to me for the program, is to have a guy that's a freshman, you know, that's a redshirt freshman that could potentially, you know, change our whole offense, the way people have to, you know, prepare for our offense. So enough about – I know we're moving off of Dejon, but it gets me excited.
Okay, well, we'll slowly move away from Dejon. You know how many times we were sacked?
Golly, did he get sacked once?
No, he didn't. They had 0 sacks, which is another testament to a good defensive – I mean, a good offensive line. The other thing is we had 11 – we had 10 sacks. We had 10 sacks for 60 yards.
It was amazing.
Our defensive line, once again, is looking great and what they're being able to pull out. When you look at some of the other stats, and I'm not going to be a stat guy here on this, but, you know, we had 500 yards of offense. Everything looked really good. But let's talk about special teams. We only punted twice that entire game. I'm really surprised we did it that much. 2 punts, average 46 yards. We can talk about that. But let's talk about the return situation. We went from a Carlos Harris known to a Darvin Kidzie, who absolutely floored us with some of the returns he had.
And he won the job. I mean, no offense to Carlos, but this guy – you know, with Carlos, there's a lot of shake and bake and kind of some side to side. And he's a talented, he's a good athlete. But, boy, Darvin Kidzie just was spectacular.
Yeah, and it is Nickel State. We'll keep going back to that. But the bottom line is he found some holes that Carlos just couldn't find against Nickel State. So,
well, he got an ESPN, top 10 play of the week?
Yeah, because that one, he caught the punt. backpedaling and threaded the line, almost stepped out, and
but
then
did not step
out, and then turned it all the way around and came all the way down for a touchdown. He had 3 returns for 132 yards. One was the 75 yarder. I just could not believe it. So it's interesting to see what he can do this week against a little better competition.
Yeah, I know the entire team. This is a great test. This is a great opportunity. I put a post on the board. This is a chance to show, you know, we should have a respectable showing against these guys. Mm-hmm. They are not a powerhouse. This isn't Oklahoma. You know, this isn't, you know, an SEC Georgia last year. This is a team that we beat the last time they were in Denton. In fact, we were laughing earlier. Who leads the all-time series in UNT versus Indiana? Believe it or not, UNT, because they've only played one time, but still. It's 1-0 right now.
I see a pattern.
I see something there.
Well, let's move over to the defensive side of the ball. When you look at the defense, do you know who happened to lead in tackles that game? There was a lot of people. They shared the love, but do you know who left? Who led?
I looked at it, but I've already forgotten.
It was Chad Polk.
Yeah.
Chad Polk, Jamar Marshall, Johnson, Wade, McLean, Scott Wallace. Some of these names we hadn't really heard of. Seth Ellis. Is, you know, a good 7-8 guys down.
Yeah.
Zach Whitfield. I mean, you know, the thing is we got a lot of – Kenny Byers didn't even make the top half of the cut on tackles. Some of these guys here you see are contributors, names we didn't expect to be seeing right now.
Chad Polk is undersized. He always has been. They were trying to convert him to linebacker. He's probably about 6'1", 235, dripping wet. But he's just a competitor. He's got a big heart, and he plays very fast at that position. Gets around bigger guys.
He's a junior, 6 foot, 231 is what they have him listed at. But he's had a great year so far, and you know, seeing that he led the game, that's awesome.
Well, there's a lot of guys. Adman just posted in the chat room his boy Jamal Marshall. Jamal Marshall is a junior that can – he's just got track speed. I mean, mm-hmm. He can really, really fly. And I've been keeping an eye on him this season. He has really played well. Seth Ellis is another one. Seth Ellis has played well. There's a lot of guys that are stepping up, and this is a great opportunity for them to really show what they can do, you know, against Indiana.
All right, so this week we play Indiana. We're in Indiana. Do we have any idea what the weather's going to be like on that game? I don't think that's going to be a factor. It didn't sound like.
I haven't heard that there's any weather issues. It should be good weather. It's a beautiful, you know, everyone, when you think about Indiana, the University of Indiana or Indiana University, you think about that movie Breaking Away. Have you ever watched that?
I have. Not aged well. The movie has not aged well. The tight shorts, just and then the hats, and then the bikes, even.
But in its time, it was a great movie. But the thing that sticks out to you about it is how beautiful that's like the idyllic college situation. I mean, right. It's just a beautiful college town.
Well, a couple of years ago when we played Ball State, we flew into Milwaukee. I don't want to talk about why we flew into Milwaukee, but we flew into Milwaukee and drove down there, and it was a good time. And then obviously went to South Bend for a game. So, you know, there's some good football, little towns up there in Tall Corn. I mean, it's a great place to see a game. It's a good time, especially this time of year. The weather's great. It's fall. It's football weather up there. It's not hot like it is down here.
Oh, absolutely.
So this is going to be exciting. Indiana has had their ups and downs this year. They were looking real strong after beating Missouri. And then kind of laid an egg against Maryland, and they're pretty upset about that. So they're really excited. They got a great running game. Hopefully that'll play in because we've had a good running defense. But we just really don't know what the offense is going to be able to recreate what they did last week.
Well, I mean, it's just a big game for so many reasons. But we talked about DeJuan Williams. It's an opportunity to see what he can do. It's an opportunity for this defense. I mean, this defense is forcing a lot of turnovers, and a lot of those came against Nichols. I understand that. But, in fact, we should just start this podcast with the caveat that, yes, they did play Nichols State, and Nichols State
well,
is not good.
Well, that's why everybody keeps saying tap the brakes, because it was Nichols State.
It was.
I don't care, man. The first game against Texas, we threw more passes to their defensive backs than we did to our receivers.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't overlook that. I mean, that was a horrible stat. And when you look at that, you're just going, okay, something's just really bad. Well, you can't help but think we had to have been able to do better.
The truth of the matter is Nichols State is bad, but whenever you beat a team, 77-3 or whatever, when's the last time we ever did that?
Right.
You know, I mean, it's that was a complete dominating game. But, yeah, this game against Indiana, it's huge for so many reasons. I mean, think about this. Conference USA West is wide open right now.
It is.
I mean, UTSA lost.
Yeah, let's talk about that schedule in a minute. One more thing about Indiana. They lost to Bowling Green 45-42. That was a high-scoring game.
Yeah, and Bowling Green is really kind of down this year. They're typically a pretty good program, but that was a disappointing loss for Indiana. And here's another thing.
Well, Bowling Green's 3-2.
Well, but they started off pretty rough this season. They'll probably turn it around. But the bottom line is Indiana is in the Big Ten, and they get better athletes, and they shouldn't be losing to Bowling Green and the MAC. Indiana needs this game. Indiana needs – in fact, an Indiana sports writer wrote that Indiana needs to beat North Texas if they have any chance of going to a bowl. Because you know who Indiana has to play the rest of the season when they get in Big Ten play. So it's just the – North Texas needs this game. Indiana needs this game. There's just a lot of interesting features around it. Again, I don't know that we have to win. We could still lose this game and still be right in the thick of things in Conference USA West the way things have played out.
Well, and this one's just a slap in the face. Leading Conference USA West is Louisiana Tech at 1-0 in conference, 2-3 overall.
Lost to Northwestern State.
UTEP is 0-0 in conference, and they're 2-2 overall. Rice is 1-1 in conference, 1-3 overall. We're 0-1, Southern Miss is 0-1, and UTSA is shocking me at now they've had a tough schedule. Let's don't
And they get New Mexico this week, so you know they're gonna probably beat New Mexico.
Yeah, they had Houston, which they won. Arizona, that's a tough team. Oklahoma State, that's a tough team. But what about Florida Atlantic?
Florida Atlantic is not a bad team, and guess who gets to play them too? Us.
Yeah, yeah.
So we don't need to be cast in stones.
No, I'm just saying Florida Atlantic came out. Because look who Florida Atlantic started off against. At Nebraska, at Alabama.
Yeah.
They got beat by Nebraska 55-7. And then, which McNeese State almost beat him at Nebraska. God, I would have loved to have seen that.
You know, I just thought of something, Evan. And King DL1 posted, the weather for Saturday is partly sunny with a high near 53.
Oh.
Okay, now let me tell you, that Indiana, you were at the Indiana game or mm-hmm. the, where we beat them in Denton. The heat played a role in that game.
Oh, that was a brutal game.
The heat played a role, so we will not have the heat advantage with it being 53 in Bloomington.
Right. Let's get back real quick. I was just telling you the schedule for Florida Atlantic because, yes. you know, like, what's their story there? They lost to Nebraska, lost to Alabama. They scored 7 points in those two games. Okay, those are two tough teams. You're going to start out 0-2. It's just the way kind of way it goes. Then they beat Tulsa. Meh. And then they lost to Wyoming, and Wyoming's having a decent year.
They barely lost to Wyoming. Yeah. Was it like a
19-20. It was a very strange, strange score. So when you look at that, Florida Atlantic. Then they beat UTSA. So UTSA is obviously having a kind of a rough start of things, and so is Florida Atlantic. And they're both better than they look, I think.
Yeah, well, but the bottom line is Rice finally got a win. They've been struggling. Schedules have played a part in this. You're right, Evan. I mean, because Rice had to play Notre Dame, and so they're the schedule is playing a part in it. But still, I think for Rice, if I'd have told you before the season that Old Dominion in their first year in Conference USA would beat Rice.
Did you watch them at that game the other night?
I watched the game the other night, but I was talking about
a good
crowd. They did, but I was talking more about the Rice. But yeah, I did watch the game, and they got their butts beat pretty bad the other night. But still. My main point is that you don't have to win this game on the road against Indiana. I think the line's like 14 or 13, something like that. No one's expecting you to win this game. If you're North Texas, you want to go in there and compete. You want Dejon to have a good game. You want to limit turnovers, and you want to make it a competitive battle because you have every right for it to be that way. But even if you lose this game, it's not the end of the season. You still have a very legitimate shot to win Conference USA West.
Well, one thing that was posted by Mean Green Sports on Facebook was North Texas has a chance for best non-conference record in FBS since 1968. All the teams that we've had come through here that were good and stuff, has it just been that our schedule has always been just let your ass get handed to you in September?
That's how I read it.
And then we'll be, it just... It's a crazy stat, but that's how it is. And
well, I mean, the notes that they throw out, you got to give them credit, man. They're spinning stuff, you know, fantastically. But like North Texas wrapped up its best month of September in 20 years with a 77-3 win over Nickel. I mean,
rainbow and unicorns, man. Rainbow and unicorns.
But I really do. I will say this. I was thinking about it. I really like how this game is coming together for North Texas. We had the bye week, so we had some injuries. The big one, Daryl Mason, our starting defensive end, hadn't played all season. Okay, so we get him back. Mason Wibarbo, he's had some injury problems. He is supposedly back on track health wise again. So we got that bye week. Indiana had the very disappointing loss. So if you look at it from a timing perspective, it sets up real nicely because it gave us 2 weeks to prepare for Indiana. And that, to me, is another thing. You know, let's take advantage of this. I mean, I want to see this team come out prepared for this game.
Well, how are we doing on injuries? Who do we have out for injury?
The injury picture is really good for us. I mean, the two I mentioned are the main pieces that I'm aware of. There's some others that are out there. But in terms of starters, I think Mason Wibarbo and Daryl Mason, the starting defensive end before the season, are the two key ones that are out there, and they're supposed to both be back for this game from what I'm hearing. So that's a big boost for North Texas.
All right, theoretical question here. Would you rather beat Indiana and lose to UTSA or vice versa?
Boy, that's a tough one. I really dislike UTSA. I mean, I dislike what they did to us last season. They knocked us out of the championship game on our home field. They killed a lot of momentum, even though it turned out to be a good season. But, yeah, UTSA, it's a conference game. It's a state game, state recruiting rights and all that stuff.
Yeah, and we're sitting pretty as far as this. Conference USA on the whole is looking good compared to some of these other conferences. SMU and Houston have kind of laid some turds there.
Yeah.
In their conference, and they're, you know, those guys are going, who did we invite over here to play? And SMU's got a big bag of nuts.
We started off extremely stronger than I ever would have imagined, and we've done real well against the American AAC or whatever they call that conference. But last week we kind of came to earth, down to earth, and you know, right. La Tech losing to Northwestern State, what didn't help things very much. But that being said, all in all, it's been a good start to the season for Conference USA.
All right. So the game time is at 1:30, kind of an unusual time to start the game, which is kind of good though, because it's earlier than the game. There's a lot of watching parties. Where are you?
A ton of watching parties, and I mean it's kind of hard to keep track of all of them. I'm trying to figure out a better way to organize that on the board, but I know there's a big one in Grapevine that's coming together. East Side, John Williams, and those guys are.
I wonder if we could put a map together, a map with little dots of where they are and where
you're. It has to be a state. It'd have to be a. There's even an Arizona. You know, yeah. We got an Arizona watching party. Yeah. I mean, it would have to be like a map of the United States, or at least the southwestern part of the United States.
Right. We need to have it so you're zoned. You know, you're zoned for this party. You're zoned for that party. You know.
Well, it's tough because the board thinks there's so much. It's so the traffic is so busy that you know someone posts it and then it gets bumped down to the next page.
Right.
So.
Somebody's posted. Posting which yeah. green is better, and that just people post some wacky stuff. So, yeah, I definitely, I think I might at least watch the first half at the viewing party in Allen.
Yeah, there's one in Allen mm-hmm. that UNT 90 grad is putting together, I believe. East
yeah.
Side.
He always
Denton.
Puts one together up there. If anybody is in Plano, Allen, or Frisco area, McKinney, go to this one because this is one everybody goes to. He had done it at Rudy's. He moved it around, but definitely go to. Go to one of those because, you know, get with some fans, especially in a game like this, it'd be broadcast that, you know, might as well hang out with others and enjoy it.
Yeah. The thing I would tell you is, even though it's not a home game, when we can go to these bars and restaurants and have a good showing and people wearing green and spending a little dough, that's a good thing for the program. That spreads the gospel out to people. And tells people that, hey, North Texas is serious about their sports and their football.
Yep, that's exactly right. All right, so game time at 1:30, playing Indiana in Indiana. And then after that, we have the next road game is at my mind just went blank.
Yeah, my mind went blank too. Someone in the chat room will tell us.
I can't believe it. Well, we're just so pumped up for Indiana. This is a big game. It really is. We play UAB. That's right.
Yeah, which UAB's improved a lot.
Yeah,
from
that's
last
another
season.
Problem. And then we play Southern Miss at home. That's the 10-18 game. That's a 6 o'clock game.
That's homecoming, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right. Homecoming 10-18. That's a 6 o'clock evening game. That'll be great. Back to the evening games. Then we play at Rice, Florida Atlantic.
Hey, man, the season sets up perfectly.
It does.
And I'm not saying necessarily you win Conference USA West and go to the championship game against Marshall, although that's what I hope will happen. But the season sets up perfectly to go to another bowl game. Conference USA has more bowl games, which is very nice compared to the old Sun Belt. We have a lot to look forward to. So don't get too down if we lose to Indiana is my message to people, because we still have a great opportunity to win Conference USA West and go to a bowl game. But I am so wanting us to do well. I really think this is a game where we could show some pretty neat stuff.
I'm totally with you there, and I hope we do it. We have a uncanny history with not capitalizing. The UT game, we couldn't do anything. I mean, if we could have scratched our butt in that game without getting a flag or doing something stupid, we could have been more competitive. I mean, it's a missed opportunity there.
Here comes one that comes to mind right off the top of my head is Western Kentucky.
Tulane last year.
Western Kentucky, not last year, but the year before last, 2012, we're leading 24-10 in the fourth quarter. And then we let them come back and win. I mean, there's just so many of those, and you don't want to harp on it, but you can't help but feel gun-shy about it if you're a North Texas fan. I'd hoped we had gotten ourselves past that after last season, but, you know, it wasn't meant to be. But this could be a great way to start things on the right track. I mean, go and play well, you know, in Indiana, maybe even get a victory in Indiana. Man, think about how sky high the North Texas fan base would be you know, beating Indiana on the road.
And that, you know, and then we got the UAB game. It'll set us up for a great crowd coming into that home game for homecoming.
Well, it would. And it would be, you know, again, Dejon Williams. I can't help but think about this guy and what a great impact and how young he is. You know, if this guy can be anything like he was against Nichols for the rest of the season, how exciting that would be for the program. So all eyes are going to be on him. I know there's going to be a lot of people, and I think his popularity is starting to show, but I think the Nichols game kind of keeps it from just going completely through the roof. And a great performance against Indiana, and man, this guy is the next, everyone's going to be wearing his jersey. You know what I mean? He is probably the most legitimate star, you know, since maybe Lance Dunbar, you know, and plays the most important position on the team at quarterback. So it's pretty exciting to think of what that could turn into.
Yeah, it is. And there's people putting him up there on their on Twitter. He's got their nickname him stuff. Just because of, you know, superstition stake, I haven't, you know, totally anointed him. But if he can pull it off and do some of the magic that he did against Nichols, against Indiana, then I'm definitely completely 100% on board. Not that I am right now. I don't have a choice, but that's what I'm saying. It should be great.
It should be. I think all eyes are going to be on Bloomington Saturday. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I can't remember getting this hyped up about a game in a while. This one's going to be fun. And it's against a team. We're not playing Texas here, right? I mean, we're playing a team that we beat the last time they came, and we played them at home. So you got to feel like you got a chance. You got to feel like with Dejon, you got a real chance.
All right. So, you know what? Let me get the fight song queued up here.
Absolutely.
I forgot to do that because I was so into what we were doing. Usually I turn it on when Brett's still talking, but he's not here. There we go. So wherever you are, make sure you go watch it with somebody. Support the businesses. Let them know the Mean Green fans are there. Like I said, I'll be at Two Rows and Allen. Todd put together that. At least I'll be there for the first half.
Oh, Ashton called me. There is no Beyond the Green this week. They took a bye week off.
They have a bye week?
Well,
Beyond
the
Green?
The Beyond the Green, because of the bye week, they're not doing a show this week. But they will be back on the air next week. Huh. And, I mean, I've been watching
them. I didn't
know
they could do that.
Haven't watched them all right when they came on, but I've been taping them and watching them, and that's just such a fantastic show.
It is. We didn't really get to talk to about this time, but we'll talk about it next week. If you got anything else, post it on the board. Follow us on Twitter. Go follow us on Facebook.
Oh,
whatever you're doing.
I had one other note. If you are not at a bar, if you're not at a restaurant, or even if you are actually and you've got your iPhone, be sure to check into the chat room. On these away games, man, that chat room is a lot of fun, and there's a lot of people in there. So keep that in mind, especially if you're at home watching the game. It's a fun way to while you're watching it on TV, to kind of follow along with other fans. So GoMeanGreen.com chat room plug right there.
All right, attaboy. All right, so we'll see everybody out at the watching parties on Saturday, usually 1:30. Game starts at 1:30. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.